The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, Scrumblers. I'm Lauren Shippen, professional writer who is going into her 15th year on Tumblr.
15 years?
Yeah.
Wow. Happy Tumble Day.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You know, thank you. You're so welcome. Well, I think there's a better.
I like Tumble Day, actually.
Tumble Day? Yeah. Cute. Happy Tumble Day. And I'm Cher McAnally, head of entertainment at Tumblr, who's been scrumbling since 2012.
Quite a long time.
Yeah, 12
years. I mean,
12 years.
Not bad.
12 years.
That's half, not bad.
Half of the century, in fact.
True. That's yeah. Oh wow. What a way to think about that.
Since the early aughts.
And this is Dashboard Diaries, a podcast for you, the folks who are in this internet bunker with us. We talk about what's going on our favorite hell site, get into what we like to call Tumble lore, do fandom deep dives, and share the times when we've gone feral over a new ship. And before we dive in, we have a small announcement about the future of the show. We are going monthly. So instead of every other week, it's going to be one episode a month. And Cher, today we are reviewing our entire year in Tumblr. And as we were discussing before we hopped into recording, we want 2024 to be the year of scrumbling, where scrolling Tumblr becomes a word finally.
Let's get ready to scrumble.
Let's get ready to scrumble. But before we do that, we have to revisit 2023 and also our own embarrassing archives. Sometimes embarrassing, sometimes just fun. So let's start off with our dashboard confessionals, where we dive into our archives and pick a post from around this month, day, from a previous year. Share what you have, what year, what are we looking at?
We are looking at an extremely 2012 post, Lauren.
Incredible.
This is actually the first post that I ever posted on Tumblr, January 17th, 2012. And to paint the picture for our listeners, it is a heavily filtered image of the ocean, like, you know, the coast in California, in San Francisco, and I've captioned it the West Coast. And the Instagram filter is... I wish I remember the name of this Instagram filter.
It is a very 2012 Instagram filter.
Right? Like, I'm going to have to, like, I actually want to look up, like, Instagram filters 2012 so that I can, like...
Are those seals on the rock there?
Oh, indeed they are.
Oh, cute. Honestly, little seals.
I didn't even notice that because I filtered it so heavily.
It's very heavily filtered. And we'll, of course, reblog this to dashboarddiaries.tumblr.com. Apparently, we already have, according to the notes.
Wait. Oh, my gosh. I didn't even... Oh, my... How did I not even, like, look... You know what? I was wondering why the first post I ever posted on Tumblr
has 15 notes. Yeah, from like, 12 years ago.
I was like, wow, go me. People love this heavily filtered... Okay, you know what? That is so funny. I almost am like, do I... I kind of want to get another post. I feel like this is the exact post that I just did the first post of last year.
No, I love it.
It's on brand for me, let's be honest.
Yeah, I love that. we are here to be our authentic selves and nothing else.
Yes, exactly. Thank you very much. Thanks for making this a safe space,
Lauren. Of course, always.
In which to scrumble.
Always.
Lauren, what do you have for us in your dashboard confessionals this week?
So I have a post that I reblogged in January of 2015, January 29th to be precise. And it's a post that I completely forgot about that I absolutely adore. You need to listen to this video with the sound on. But it's okay. it's a video that with the caption of "This one is even spookier. Look what I fucking found in my house." And it is the X-Files theme song over a video of a hand reaching toward a pillow and then pulling the pillow back to reveal a very scared looking pug. And for whatever reason, it like really got me when I first saw it. And I'm pretty sure I reblogged this video like 10 times in the course of a year. And it had completely left my memory. So this was a really delightful thing to discover in my own archives.
This is incredible. I love it. It's beautiful. No notes. Absolutely perfect piece of cinema.
I agree.
When you said, like a few seconds after you said that you need to listen to sound, I was like, oh, okay. And I hit play and I don't, it, like, and if you watch back the recording, I jumped like a foot in the air. It really hit me.
It's good. It's just a good, effective video. Good.
Oh my God. I love it. You know, the pug is a paid actor.
Exactly. He's really selling it, you know? Let's get into our main topic, which is looking back at 2023 as a whole. Cher, were there any really big takeaways for you? We'll dive into the fandom metrics and sort of what was like charting throughout the year. But as a Tumblr user and Tumblr employee, were there any huge takeaways for you from 2023?
Yes, there were a couple major takeaways from like the 2023 and like the fandom list overall. Mm-hmm. My favorite one, or, you know, I had two that I wrote down. One is that Goncharov was the number 3 movie of the year.
Incredible. You know, a movie that does not exist.
Only on Tumblr. I love Tumblr so much. I love it. No,
well,
notes.
And Goncharov was a 2022 thing, wasn't it? Like, Goncharov
exactly.
Created in 2022? So the fact that it's still charted.
Like late 2022. Yes. But like, yeah, it was... It's still, I think it was late 2022.
I think you're right.
Honestly,
yeah, it was like November 22.
Yeah, like, that's. I feel like it was, yeah, like around that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, No, Goncharov persists. Goncharov remains. You know,
can't bring down Goncharov.
I think that's like the great thing about Tumblr too. I mean, we say this all the time: is that, you know, once the Tumblr community like is a fan of something or is into something or, you know, has it gets going, it's like, what is it like? Is it like Newton's law? What's the law? Where it's like, you know, the ball.
Oh, an object in motion.
Like, an object in motion will not stop unless it is stopped. It will, they cannot be stopped.
Yes, that's a perfect metaphor, yeah.
And so, I love that Goncharov was the number 3 movie of the year. Absolutely fantastic. And also, just Good Omens kind of coming back.
Yeah.
Like, coming back with it, you know, regaining or reclaiming its spot at number 1 for ships and, you know, Ineffable Husbands, of course. It was also the top in topics of the year when it came out in 2018. It was the number 2 topic of this year.
Oh, wow.
Under artists on Tumblr as a community.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's,
yeah,
so the number 1 like sense. Specific thing.
Look, Tumblr is 2 things: artists on Tumblr and Good Omens. And also Goncharov.
That's a pretty good summation, I feel like.
So 3 things. And also, Crowley was the number 18 most talked about topic of the year.
That's
and
wild.
And Aziraphale was the number 23 most talked about topic. And so I'd love to see some like fanic. Is that a new word? Like
fanic?
Does that exist?
Fanic. That feels like something. That feels like something. Are we fanicking?
Yeah, that's something. Are we fanicking? Let's put
a pin in that.
Pin in that. There it is. I was fanicking and I forgot the word. Okay.
It's my new favorite thing.
I would love to see some fanfic or fan art of like Crowley and Aziraphale talking about the fact that like Crowley was the number 18 and Aziraphale was number 23.
Yes.
I feel like that would be very funny. Also, the fanic reminds me of the time I was in a partner meeting and I wanted to say the word content and fandom and instead I said condom.
Oh my, how on earth did you recover from that? What did you do?
Yeah, I just continued on, you know, just kept going as if it hadn't happened. And my boss did slack me and said, yes, we did hear that. So,
just another day at Tumblr. Absolutely incredible. Incredible.
Absolute fanic throughout. Anyway, those were my big takeaways from the year, Lauren. What were yours?
I love that. I was like blown away by Good Omens being all over the sort of the top active charts. And then I thought about it. I was like, well, yeah, I mean, like I saw a lot of Good Omens this year, but it is kind of remarkable that a show that has only 12 episodes and obviously like, you know, a book that predates that and all that kind of stuff. It's just kind of remarkable that it manages to really grab a hold of the Tumblr community. I think the two things that really stand out for me about this year are Barbenheimer. Obviously, like all of the Barbie Oppenheimer memes, the tickets to Barbie, like just so many Barbie memes, the like their mugshot memes, everybody doing fan art in their fandom of that meme. That was really like all over my dash this year, really consistently too. Like there wasn't really like a rise and fall. Like it was just sort of every month, mm-hmm. like, you know, there was some Barbenheimer or Barbie meme content.
Absolutely. This was the year of Barbieheimer, I think, in like a big way.
Absolutely.
Like on the internet as a whole.
Yes, definitely. And I think, like, you know, Barbie is the number one movie on Tumblr for 2023, and Oppenheimer's number 13. And I think that like is a pretty good display of the differences between them. Like Barbieheimer was big, mm-hmm. and Barbie was big, but Oppenheimer was sort of like less of a huge thing on its own on Tumblr, which I think is interesting.
Yeah. I think maybe a lot of that came down to, I think, just like the shareability, like the conversation ability, like the lighthearted fun aspect of either talking about, you know, Barbie, which, you know, it's, you know, you're talking about memes, or you're sharing like fun, like gift sets or, you know, photos or whatever it is, or videos or clips, or you're like talking about, you know, the impact or meaning of Barbie and kind of like on childhood, like there's that nostalgia aspect, mm-hmm.
Barbenheimer.
Is that an example of fanic?
That's disgusting.
Anyway, was also like a fun meme, but then Oppenheimer is just really serious and sad subject matter.
Right.
Also just a very well-made film that, you know, Tumblr as a platform that really, you know, the community likes talking about film mm-hmm. as a whole and as an art form, like, would still be very active and engaged with. And then also Cillian Murphy.
Yes. Wait,
so, and just the Killian? Entire cast. I think it, yeah.
Oh my God, I've been pronouncing it wrong my entire life. I've always been pronouncing it Cillian. Wow.
I'm pretty sure it's Cillian.
No, I trust you completely. I just had no idea.
The more you know.
The more
unless,
you know.
Unless I'm wrong, in case the more incorrect news that I spread, I found out today that I have been spreading a lie that Massachusetts is the 13th biggest state by square mileage. It is the 44th.
Why did you think it was the 13th biggest state?
So this is a long, it's not a long time. I could get this down to a couple sentences. You know, like the band that does What Does the Fox Say?
Yes.
They also have a song called Massachusetts. And within it, I'm pretty positive they say Massachusetts, the 13th biggest state. And honestly, trusted that and was like, yes, I believe that. And so now whenever someone would say Massachusetts, I'd be like, oh, the 13th biggest state.
Oh my God.
And now, like, and I watched this video, I want to say, in like 2015.
Yeah.
So it's been quite a long time of me spreading this message.
I love that. This is my favorite thing.
anyway, what was
so the other big takeaway for me from 2023 was the writers and SAG strike, right? Like,
yes.
I think that those, not only were those like two topics that were, you know, talked about and debated and discussed, and, you know, there are lots of people informing the public on those strikes just on Tumblr itself. But I think that when I think about the things that didn't necessarily blow up on Tumblr in the way that I expected them to, I think that that's so due to the SAG strike, right? Like, we had the second season of Our Fog Means Death this year, which I definitely saw stuff of, and I'm sure that if you are really active in the fandom, it was all over the place. But like, compared to the first season, it was not nearly as ubiquitous. And I do think that that's because the cast and crew could not, or the cast and creators and you know, whatnot, could not promote it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true for so much of the stuff that came out this year, I think. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I think that the way that that affected sort of Tumblr's activity changed a lot. And I think as a result too, it's like I saw like fewer celebrity interviews. You know, it's like normally you would see like gift sets or like, you know, clips from like Tumblr interviews and BuzzFeed interviews and the Vanity Fair lie detector test and like all of these kind of like classic interviews that celebrities do when they're promoting a movie or a TV show or what have you. And like those things just like didn't exist this year. And so I think that that kind of changed the ecosystem in an interesting way. And I don't know how that really affected like the numbers of popular things, but I imagine a little bit.
Yeah, I would say that's actually really interesting. I would love to see if there's a way to like quantify that. I guess it's hard with the differences and, you know, titles and things, but I think it definitely did impact conversation about TV and film just because of the level of promotion, I would say, just across the board. And also, yeah, just like the discoverability and knowledge. I think a lot of people are like discovering and talking about things like a little later than, you know, premieres and things like that. Like, you know, there's a bit of a delay with all of that. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I'm interested to see how the impact of the strike has on like this year and going forward, because, you know, there was a full shutdown for such an extended period of time. And, you know, everyone, I think, immediately, you know, got back to work. But it's also just months and months and months of so much work.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if we'll kind of see
some like dead spots. Like,
some dead spots. Yeah.
I wonder that, too. Like, I'm just looking at the list of like TV shows that sort of, I don't know what the proper way to, I'm just saying charted, but like, I don't know what the proper way to like talk about, you know, the top, you know, the top TV shows on Tumblr this year, or
top, in 2023. Like top of the list.
Yeah, top of the list.
Yeah.
So in terms of these Fandometrics lists, were there anything, was there anything on them that surprised you or like confused you or shocked you? Or delighted you?
I would say on Tumblr, like what I'm rarely shocked by what makes a
list. That's
fair. Generally, the more chaotic something is, or the more kind of out of left field something is, the more likely I'm like, oh yeah, that's on brand for Tumblr.
Yeah.
Was there anything for you? Maybe I'll percolate on that. I feel like my brain just erased the entire year when you asked me that question.
I totally get that.
I was like, who and what happened last year? Like, I'm looking at the list like right now. I have them open. I have my notes, and I'm like, huh, what did surprise me? I fully expected Good Omens to kind of have the impact it did. I did not expect characters from any TV show or like anything to be in the topics.
Yeah.
List.
Yeah.
So I would say that was something that just kind of like surprised and delighted me. Like, I think that is just so great and shows like the power of like Tumblr when they get all in on something, because when users get, and I think like the Goncharovit number, I'm trying to think of like, okay, you're circle back to me. Come back to me.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm panicking right now.
I really love this new word.
Yeah, I think it really is like applicable.
Yeah,
we panic a lot. We're using it, but we panic a lot.
We panic a lot.
We panic and we fix it.
Exactly.
You know, what can we do? What can we say?
I love that. Yeah, I mean, there were a couple things that jumped out at me. Okay, I think that the first is that, yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, Good Omens kind of dominating made perfect sense to me. Destiel being number three ship makes perfect sense to me, even though that show's not been on for 3 years or whatever. The one that kind of surprised me is, yeah, Good Omens was Ineffable Husbands. The ship from Good Omens was first, and then Destiel was three. Steady, which is Steve Harrington and Eddie Munson from Stranger Things, was number two. And here's why that, like, just, it's not that it necessarily surprises me. It just, I think, is an indication of something that, like, has been brewing for a while that I think that now we can, like, kind of say for certain, which is that, like, I do think that Steady has entered now the like annals of like Tumblr ships that are never, ever, 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 ever going to go away. Right. Which is like kind of remarkable when you think about the other ships that Tumblr has that don't go away. You have Destiel. That show ran for 15 seasons. You have Merlin. That show ran for 5 seasons. You have, you know, Hanagram, 3 seasons. And also, like, I think that there's an argument to be made for Hanagram also being, like, a canon ship, which I think changes. Well, and there's an argument to be made for Destiel being a canon unrequited ship, too. So it's like there's so much, you know, stuff to sort of go into those ships kind of standing the test of time. Especially, like, you know, something like both Hannibal and Merlin are universes that pre-existed when the shows were made. You know, Supernatural has become a universe unto itself. Whereas Stranger Things, obviously, one of the biggest TV shows of the last 20 years. Eddie's a character in one season that aired 2 years ago. And he and Steve interact, like, maybe 4 times. And that's what I love about Tumblr, right? Is, like, I'm sure if you added up the screen time that, like, maybe not the screen time that they share, but I'm sure if you added up the, like, number of lines that Steve and Eddie say to each other, it would be equivalent to, like, an episode of Dean and Cass in Supernatural, right? Mm-hmm. But people have taken that and have taken these two sort of, like, polar opposite characters and, like, created an entirely new universe sort of inside of the show for that ship, so much so that, yeah, 2 years after the season aired, it's still the number two ship. And I just, I like, that's so Tumblr to me, and I really, really love it.
I absolutely, yeah, Tumblr continues to be so Tumblr, and yes. I love that. And I also, why do you think, and I kind of like, I have like, I don't know, a theory or a guess, but like, why do you think that like these two characters specifically out of all the ships mm-hmm. on the show, like really, because I know there are multiple Stranger Things ships in the
yes.
list, but like,
yeah.
I feel like steady, like is, it holds steady.
Exactly. And I think it will continue to do so. Like I think in 10 yeah. years, like how we're seeing Merlin still on the chart, like we're going to see steady somewhere in yeah. the top 50, right?
I agree.
So yeah, I do have a couple theories and I'm curious to hear yours and if they overlap at all. I think that there is, and this is not, you know, a unique observation or I think even criticism. I think that this is something that a lot of people have called out through the years about fandom. It's two handsome white boys, you know? Sometimes that's enough. I think that that's yeah. a piece of it. I think that there's, I think that there's a lot of love for, they're both named Joe, right? Both of the actors are named Joe. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's a lot of love for them as, like, individuals and, like, a lot of people, you know, really enjoy them. I mean, they're both great actors. I think that's part of it, right? Like, that's a percentage. It's not all of it. I think the other piece of it is that Eddie is a character that really, really resonated with people because he's, like, this outcast. Mm-hmm. He's into D&D. He's into metal music. He's kind of a nerd. But he's, like, got an edge to him and he's really charming. And I think a lot of people, like, saw themselves in Eddie. And also, I think that there's, like, a classic, like, you know, sort of Eddie's this interesting mix of, like, bad boy and nerd. And Steve's this interesting mix of, like, player, jock, and wife guy. Like, he sort of starts as, like, a player and then sort of becomes a wife guy. And, like, amidst all of that, yeah. he's kind of, like, he's got sort of, like, the dumb jock stereotype. Like, and listen, like, I cannot cast stones about this. In the Braid Sessions, one of the central ships, Caleb and Adam. Caleb is, like, the stereotypical jock. Adam is, like, the pop punk emo kid. Like, there's just something in that we love, right?
Look, there's a reason why that type of shit persists.
It does. It just persists.
We love to see it.
I think Heartstopper even has a degree of that, right? Like,
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So those are my theories. What are yours?
Yes.
Okay. I got them all.
Yep. Exactly that, honestly. I have nothing else to add.
Incredible. Same mind.
Works out. Our, the podcast eventually is just going to be like 45 minutes of silence of us being like,
because we're just telepathically communicating. Oh, the other thing that surprised me or like that delighted me just in terms of like yes. things that have stood the test of time is that the movie Saw, which came out 20 years ago, was number 23 on Tumblr.
Fantastic.
And I just like, yes. great. You know, and I follow people who saw post or whatever, and it's like people, that's another thing in which like the people who ship it, like it, you know, it's like there are a couple of these like horror yeah. movies that people have these very powerful feelings about. I've never seen either of the movies because I'm too much of a scaredy cat, definitely to watch Saw. I think maybe I could handle it, but I don't think I could handle Saw. But people love it.
So a new Saw movie came out, I believe, this
yes,
year.
Saw 10. Yeah.
But and I'm wondering if the Saw on the list is Saw 1 or Saw as a franchise or as like
that's
a,
true. Yeah. Saw 10 like is 66 on the list after Shrek 2.
66. Oh my gosh, how did I miss that?
But I think you're right.
After Shrek 2. But no, I think yeah.
But it definitely could be like the franchise as a whole for sure.
No, I think yes, but also the fact that Saw 10 is 66 on the list, which is the movie that came out like recently.
Yes, like
whereas
this year.
Like Saw overall, like is what, like I do think there is very, very much something to be said about that. I also think the first movie, like as like I saw a lot of memes specifically from the first movie.
Yes,
I think
this
year and just in the past, and also I just love like Tumblr and the horror tie-in.
Yeah.
I watched. I've seen most of the Saw movies.
Have you really?
As a kid, Yeah, I don't like gore.
So yeah, why have you seen these movies?
So I'm working on my people-pleasing, Lauren. It's one of my intentions of 2024.
Love that.
But as a kid, like one of my best friends from elementary school loved the Saw movies. And so we would like watch them at sleepovers and it would be like we'd watch like marathons of the Saw movies. Like we went when Saw 3D came out.
Oh my god, that's right.
I'm not sure if you recall. We like her mom took us and then like left like and picked us up after because it was like rated R, so she had to like walk in the theater with us. So rebellious. And I just closed my eyes during like the bad parts, like
the most, you know, of the movie,
the violent parts, which is like, yeah, I would say like 75% of the movie. And oh, I saw Saw 10 with my friends during like a cabin week. Again, they were like, let's do a horror movie night, let's watch Saw. And I was like, yeah, let's do that in our cabin in the woods.
Might as well be a completionist for the franchise.
And so I, you know, did the same exact thing. But thankfully, Saw 10 has like a 45-minute like lead-in that reads like kind of like a drama, like an intense drama.
Excellent.
I was very, so there was that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, looking in the Saw tag, I am seeing a lot of Saw 10 posts. So I think you're right that it is for the franchise as a whole. So you, I mean, Cher, you've seen all the movies. You could be out there Saw posting if you want.
I, you know, now that I have seen Saw, you know, I tried.
There's something there.
There's something there. I would Saw post, but then I would have to see the Saw. There it is.
There we go.
We got there.
Yeah, and you've saw it enough.
Related, unrelated, related, vaguely related. I'm going to derail things for a quick
please.
Joke that I made up.
Please.
That I'm really proud of. Okay. How are carrots and celery related?
I don't know. How?
They're in slaws.
You know, it took me a moment and then I got there.
Maybe I'll try, like, maybe the pause. I don't have the pause right, quite right. They're in slaws.
Yeah. Yeah. There it is. Yeah. That's very good. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much. Proud of that one. Anyway. Teehee.
All right. I thought it would be fun to go back to your very first post that you posted or reblogged in 2023 was. So let's take a moment to dive back into our archives. I'm going to see which is better, my private or my public Tumblr, which has the better post.
Also, while you're going back, I'd like to ask you, Lauren, what would go on your personal year in review list? I think we asked this question in our last episode, but now that you've seen the year in review list, and also just like in life in general, outside of like entertainment and like what made the fandom list, like what in Lauren's year in review,
what made the grade,
what would be featured?
Yeah.
What made the grade?
You know, I have this written down in my notebook, which is downstairs. But let me see if I can remember. Oh gosh. Do you have one? What's on Cher's year in review?
I bulleted out a few things. One, I did do a couple like actual just like shows and things. I was like The Last of Us and Succession.
Yes. Yes.
I said the interview with Ben Schwartz for Renfield,
yes.
Where we talked about the concussions and the concussion gate.
Yeah.
And because it led to me finding out that I have had six concussions, not three.
Oh my God.
My mom informed me of this. So it's just really, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And then I also, I went to Jamaica and Thailand during the year, which was great.
Amazing.
And I turned 30. Which I think was, you know, a big, big part of 2023 for me, entering my 30s. So far, so good.
Hell yes.
I would say. And I think there's definitely more, but those are some key standouts. What about you?
I definitely think when it comes, I'm like looking back on my sort of private fandom Tumblr now, and how could I forget? I read the Thrawn trilogy for the first time last year, and that was, I went on a whole Eli Vanto spiral. Like, I went so deep in on Thrawn and Eli, and, you know, and there's some great fic out there, truly, and some amazing fan art. And The Last of Us, definitely. Barry, the final season of Barry was amazing.
Still,
and
still
started on my birthday, which was really fun. And then from a personal standpoint, I launched a new podcast in 2023 that I've been doing daily for 6 months, which is crazy.
That is so impressive, Lauren. I truly do not know how you do
we're halfway there. I want to do it for at least a year and then we'll see. And the thing that like really consumed my brain was that I spent the first 6 months like starting a new draft of the book I've been trying to write for, I mean, 5 years. I started writing as a podcast first in early 2019, and then changed it to a book in like 2020, 2021. And I finally finished it this year and like got it out to my agent, and like, you know, I'm very, very happy with it. It feels good to have like finally kind of completed that. It's a queer outlaw story. It's a Western. It's like a romance. I really hope that someone wants to buy it.
Oh my gosh, congratulations, Lauren. I can't wait to read it.
Thank you. All right, what was your first post in 2023?
My first post in 2023, it's so funny that this was my first post, and I will tell you why in a second, was this, well, actually, okay. My first post was a reblog from an interview we did for the film Missing with Storm Reid.
Yeah.
Great.
Nice.
Great film. Great interview. However, the post I dropped in, I also want to touch on. It is from user Homosexual Having Tea, and it's a text post that reads, love that one scene in Return of the King that's like, bad news, Sauron knows everything Pippin knows. Good news, Pippin knows absolutely fuck all.
It's so good. I love Lord of the Rings posting. It's always so good.
I love it so much. And that's also very funny because I watched Return of the King Extended Edition this weekend.
Oh, perfect.
So
that's how you start your year, you know?
It's a great way to start the year.
Yeah. I love that.
What was your first post of the
year? So I also have two from my private fandom Tumblr. I reblogged this post about the Gavlabakan goat not burning in 2022. I don't think we have time for me to explain the whole goat burning thing. Do you know about this?
I have a vague memory of you explaining this to me, I think around this time, perhaps last year, but I do not recall, so I would love a refresher.
There's this ghost in, like, God, I want to say Sweden. I hope I'm right about that. That they make every Christmas out of hay. He's just a Gavla goat. He's just a big goat. And for the past many years, he has been burned down, and he did not get burned down in 2022. And I don't know the fate of the Gavla goat in 2023. So I'm going to have to look that up.
Oh my gosh.
And then the other post that I want to share is from January 3rd, I think, January 2nd, and is a post that I made that reads, nothing I love more than waking up to a bunch of new kudos and realizing that everyone spent the first day of their year reading fanfic like I did.
Perfect way to start the year, Lauren.
And, just like very, very nice. And, you know, I still love getting those kudos emails and those comments emails. And I definitely began my year reading fanfic. So, you know, some things change, some things stay the same.
What fanfic did you begin your year writing, Lauren?
Oh, I haven't written any this year. Oh. Yeah, last year.
Reading fanfic.
Yes,
okay.
This post is in reference to fanfic that I wrote.
Written.
Yes.
Well, okay, what fanfic?
I cannot tell you because the fandom's too small that people will be able to find me. I can tell you once we stop recording.
Okay. Ooh, I love knowing a little secret.
Well, I hope you all have started your year doing whatever fandom activity you love doing. I'm Lauren Chippin, and you can find me at thelaurenchippin.tumblr.com.
I'm Cher McAnally, and you can find me at overshares.tumblr.com. This has been Dashboard Diaries, and
may your Anons always be loving,
your Dash always refresh,
your GIFs always be loading,
and your ships always canon.
May the fix you're reading always be finished,
and the answers you seek always in the reblogs.
Thanks for scrolling with us.